Welcome to your Spiritual Besties podcast. I'm Lauren Ledoux.
And I'm Rashida McCoy. We're here to laugh, cry, learn, and connect with you.
We discuss anything and everything from our everyday lives to the magical, mystical, and woo-woo.
So take a deep breath, grab a cup of tea,
and set an intention to receive, because you deserve it, bestie. All right. Welcome, everyone, to our podcast. We have a podcast.
I know. Crazy. Exciting.
Very exciting. And you know what? I wanted to start today by celebrating our friendship and celebrating you and celebrating the start to like a really exciting journey and opening up our worlds to any besties listening. And I'm sure there's like millions of people listening right now.
So many.
It's called manifesting, but exactly. In reality, to anyone who is here right now, you are an OG bestie, and I thank you so much for spending this time with us. Rashida and I have been chatting weekly about all topics for over a year now, just privately on our own, and we've decided to kind of open up our relationship and open up our world to you all, and I'm just so grateful that you're here. But Rashida, I just want to celebrate you, and you are such a grounding and like magical person at the same time. You've been such a rock for me, and it's been so much fun to like grow together and to do it in like a really authentic and beautiful way. You know, a lot of relationships take a long time to develop, and they start on the surface and they go deep. And I love you because we've gotten to just like dive right in right away. And
so true.
That's like what I'm really hoping to do with this podcast too. Like if you are like me and you're at a party and you have no idea what to talk to people about, and what you like really want to talk about is aliens or meditation or yoga, and you're just like hoping to find the other weirdo at the party, this podcast is for you. So Rashida, I want to celebrate you as a human. You're a beautiful person. It's been amazing to watch your growth, and I'm just really excited to do this journey together. And I want to celebrate us too, you and me together, trying something new and putting ourselves out there, using our voices, and hopefully inspiring other goddesses and other besties to do the same.
Lauren, thank you so much for that. I feel like this is exactly what's needed and why we decided to do this, because not every day you have someone who wants to celebrate you just for being you, right? It's always about the accomplishments that you get or all the other things, but I really appreciate us. I really appreciate our relationship. I really appreciate the fact that we decided to go through a training together and actually stick through it and not just end because something said it had to end. So I appreciate you. I appreciate you being authentic and open with me and coming to me at a time that I really needed a best friend to talk about anything and everything with. So thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And before we dive in, I'll give a little background in that Rashida and I met on the very first day of a coaching training with Dharma Coaching Institute. And we got paired together in like a breakout room, and we both had our kiddos with us. And I was feeling a little bit nervous to start the training and to have my kid with me too through a lot of it, because I have a girl who was one at the time, now she's two. And when I saw her with her kiddo and we got to connect together and just be ourselves, I immediately felt at ease. So I'm just so grateful for that. And yeah, grateful that we've kept our relationship up and that we've become spiritual besties.
Yes.
Yeah. So shall we just dive right into the weird stuff?
Yeah, let's go. I mean, that's what we're here for, right?
Absolutely. So,
Lauren, we've had tons of conversations and we just evolve in how we do things, but I really wanted to start this episode by asking you, what does spirituality mean to you? What is spirituality to you? What is this word that we hear thrown around, but not everyone knows what it means? So can you fill us in on that? What does it feel like for you?
Yeah, absolutely. Great question. And to me, my spirituality is a direct connection to source or goddess or spirit, or however you want to define the undefinable, whatever it is out there that's bigger than us. And for me, that means really developing my own path. I of course have like teachers, and there are many like ancient texts to study and things like that. But for me, it's been really important to develop, I guess, my own relationship that's direct and free of any kind of dogma, like no religion, no prescribed rules, but just direct experience. And like, it comes from this willingness to be open, and to learn. So I feel like I could define it for myself in many different ways, but that's what it is for me, this direct relationship with spirit. And it's also, and this is a term used a lot in yoga, but it's a self-realization, right? So we talk about like spirit or God as this thing outside of us, but self-realization is realizing that that is within us. Mm. So we're realizing like who the self is. It's not this mom and teacher and woman who's ever changing.
Not the labels.
Yeah, it's not the labels. It's like the truth of who we are. So spirituality a lot of times is just that journey to, I want to say discover it, but it's really to remember it. Because if that's our true nature, then it's something that we are constantly experiencing. It's just that we have like collective amnesia about it. So, you know, we use texts and practices and tools and things like that to remember and to be in our own nature.
I love that. And everything you said, I just resonated with. And I love how you just explained that. Like it and when you said the willingness to be open, I had this like little ping and I kind of wanted to go there. How did you decide to, or what made you become one, aware, and to be open to the things that weren't necessarily what you were brought up with? Like, what brought you here?
Yeah, I'll talk about my journey a bit. So I was born into a family that practiced like evangelical Christianity. So that's like churches where people dance in the aisles and sing and wave their hands and like speak in tongues, and you know, and all that's really interesting. There's also kind of the darker side where a lot of it's like very political. I could go there. I might not at this moment, but essentially like I grew up in that style of church, where I really felt connected to the divine. I felt lit up by it even. And it was a huge like identity for me and a motivating factor in my life. I was definitely like into the whole story. So some of the beliefs are you need to like accept Jesus into your heart in order to be forgiven for your sins, and everybody's a sinner, and to go to heaven. And if that doesn't happen, then you go to hell. And I've always been like a real big-hearted person. So I would like tell all of my friends, like I'd have a sleepover or something in kindergarten or first grade, and I would be saving everybody. Like, hey guys, you don't want to go to hell. I want you to come to heaven with me. I got baptized. It was such a part of my upbringing and just a part of my reality. As I got older, I started to question things as I started to like open up my world. I've always been like a big reader. I've always been super interested, you know, not just in like what's in my backyard, but in the whole world and how people live and what they believe. And as I became a teenager, my mind was opening more and more. And I realized that Christianity, like as I had learned it and experienced it, just wasn't resonating for me anymore. So that really set me off on a journey to like figure out what spirituality even is, or if it's something that was even relevant to me anymore. And it was really painful because it's like, you know, when your illusions can be really comfortable, they can be comforting. So when the veil kind of lifts and they go away, it can be very depressing. And through my teenage years and my 20s, I experienced, not just because of that, but that was definitely a part of it, like lots of anxiety and depression and eating disorder, and really trying to like fill this hole inside of me with whatever I could. And I've always been a seeker, I think. So although like I considered myself, what's the word? Like just okay with not knowing. For a long time, I started having like direct experiences with spirit and started like experimenting and really opening my mind. In my healing journey, I felt called to do a Reiki training, and I did that. Maybe I was like 24 or something like that. And that really opened my world up to like energy and healing and like the power and capability of a human being, or like spirit enshrined in a human being. Before that, I was into like psychedelics. So that really opened my mind to like the present moment. It was like, I had never truly understood like the here and now before then. I also like experimented with meditation and yoga and all kinds of different things. And so the Reiki training really opened me up, and I started this like really deep spiritual journey after that. For many years, I heard the whisper to become a yoga teacher. I finally listened at age 29, and I did a yoga teacher training in Costa Rica, and it was immersive and it kicked my ass. But it was like, it really opened my mind and it introduced me to yogic philosophy too. And that was 10 years ago. I'm 38 now. I'll be 39 in a couple of months. And I have just learned and like soaked in as much as possible and really like carved my own path that is very much informed by yogic philosophy, by energy work, and now too by like dharma and an intuition. And I'm just having so much fun like playing with spirituality and having like just enjoying it. And like what I'm really into right now too is embodiment. I grew up as a dancer and really connected with my body. And when I like kind of lost my religion and went through this like spiritual crisis, I also like quit dance and I was disconnected from my body. So the journey like back into my body has also been the journey back into spirituality. It's been really interesting. And I feel like there's so many words to like describe this journey and what spirituality is, but truly like it's a direct experience. I'd like to know for you, Rashida, how do you define spirituality? What does it mean to you?
Yeah, so I've thought a lot about this, and not just for, you know, the podcast, but really just what it means to me. I kind of almost have like a similar story, but really what it comes down to when I really sat with what is spirituality to me, it is finding one's true self, and finding one's true self, myself, by breaking down those barriers that were put up by parents, my family, by society, and really peeling back all those layers and those barriers to find the true me underneath. I know for a long time I did whatever I did to please others, to be nice, to be this good girl, right? Didn't want to step out of my lane. And if I did anything out there, it was like kind of like in private. And, you know, I was ashamed a lot of myself and who I was. And so I would drown myself in work. I always had like two or three jobs at one time. I always had something going on, so I never really had to sit with myself. And so when I had my daughter, she's actually four today. I had this moment to take a step back, and taking a step back, I was not working. I was at home. I was being really present, didn't really know that that's what I was doing initially, but I had all these like questions come up, and it really made me realize that I don't feel happy and I don't feel passionate. And I've just been doing things just to be doing them or what I think I should be doing. And that really got me on the journey of like trying to find out, so who am I? Like, am I just this like not passionate person? I go on trips and stuff and I love to travel. My friends know that about me, but what else? That's always just so temporary. What else am I? I mean, I have a great family, a great husband. I have a great children now. And in the beginning, it was just like, why am I not happy? So I sought out a counselor to really dive deep and ask these questions. And she pretty much told me, well, what if you're just this way? And what if you're just not a passionate person? And I told her, I was like, you know, I mean, I guess that's okay. That's fine if that's who I am. And later on, over the next couple of days, I really just sat with that. And there was something screaming inside me that was like, bitch, no, like, that is not who you are. So that's what started me on this path. But just like you, I grew up in a Baptist atmosphere. I went to church all the time. And I mean, our services weren't like the hour and a half or 45 minutes. Like, girl, I would sit in church for like 2, 3, 4 hours, bored and miserable out of my mind. And the only time I felt that like divine was like through singing, through the choir, and just through being able to like express myself. And I didn't realize at the time that I used the music and the song as a way to express my true self. Mm-hmm. I was able to get drowned out a little bit by everyone else singing, but I was still able to share myself. And that feeling that I would get coming in, that was the divine for me. I didn't get it in the sermon. I didn't get it from the fire and brimstone, you know, the, you do this or else this is your bad and you're damned and, you know, you're a sinner. And I, like you, always thought it was just odd that we had this God, or what people say God is, and he was just so mean. So we can go into that later. But that was the background I came from. And it was, and it wasn't bad, like very loving. Like we went to church on Sundays and all the things. I would see my grandparents and I would go to church multiple times a week sometimes, but I had questions and I just had like, you know, well, if this is how things were, where did the dinosaurs come from and this and that? And I would get almost shot down by asking those things. And it was like, almost, if it's not in the Bible, don't ask. Right. Mm-hmm. And so fast forward to like this pivotal moment in my life where I was questioning who I was. I started seeking by really getting into personal development. Like I was really like big into that, like the Tony Robbins and the Mel Robbins and the Rachel Hollis and all the people, right? The Brendon Burchard, all the people. And I was really into fitness and I got into that and I lost, you know, 30, 35 pounds. And still I was like, is this it? And I found Sahara one day, Sahara Rose, and my world opened up. You know, I Googled spirituality, and if you've ever Googled spirituality, I mean, what comes up? Everything comes up. So you can imagine me being like, what is this? What do I do? I do cards. I do reading. It's energy. It's what is it? And through that journey of me Googling and really stepping into things and, you know, finding people like you, going through certifications, I realized it's a personal journey. Spirituality is such a personal journey, and it's one that you have to be ready for, but willing to go through. And it doesn't look like anybody else's journey. Mm. So,
yeah, thanks for sharing all that. I identify with so much of your story. One, with like feeling connected to the divine through song, That's something I have experienced and felt my whole life since I was a really small child. And now it's, I see it in my daughter. It's like the coolest thing.
Yes.
And to see that like pure joy and expression of spirit is, it's so beautiful. And it's so like revealing and wonderful to have those experiences early on to draw from later when you can be like, oh, that's what that was. That was me connecting with spirit, and it doesn't have to look like what everyone else is doing around me. And I think that's important to note too. Like, even in the like community of spirituality, we look to others to see what they're doing and how they're connecting. And really, like, we can draw inspiration from that. But you're right that your journey is your own. And that's really freeing, right? I think, like, for many of us who didn't grow up that way, you know, we're looking for a book, or we're looking for a doctrine, or we're looking for like someone of authority to tell us like what we're supposed to be doing. So sometimes it can be a little bit scary to step outside of that and just be
absolutely
like, you're like floating in the ethers, like, okay, how do I connect? What is this? But I think, when we're given that freedom, we go back to something really primal, right? Like, humans have been singing to connect with the divine probably since humans have existed.
Absolutely.
Or dancing or praying or like connecting with each other in good conversation. You know, it's a natural part of who we are. It is who we are.
And you know what? And that's exactly it. I feel like in this time, we are always looking outside of ourselves. We're always looking for the expert to tell us what it is, what we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to be. And when we decide to drop that, whatever that is, just drop it, the conditioning, right? Just drop it and like really feel ourselves, not this version of what we think we're supposed to be, but actually be. It's heart opening. It's eye opening. It's so expansive. And you're right, through the dance and the song and the just not giving a shit about what anyone thinks and how you move. Like, that is divine. That is spirit. That is being. That is everything. But it's so hard when we grow up in these structures of go to school, stand in line, sit here, do this. It's hard to come back to one's true self. And, you know, when we think about it, when we feel that spirit and that divine, for me, we're also feeling ourselves, because we are that, that is us. Mm-hmm. And it's just so beautiful. It's so beautiful. I truly feel grateful to have the life I have, to have gone through the things, the hard and the beautiful, to be here in this moment, because I needed all of that. I needed all of that BS, to be here and to know what life really is about.
Yeah. Yeah. I really want to speak to like the deconditioning that you're talking about. So I think a lot of times on a spiritual journey, we're trying to like learn as much as we can and like gather this information, or Googling this and reading that and listening to this podcast and that. And really, like, it's more of an unlearning, right? Because as we grow, we are hounded from every direction with messages,
yes,
of like what life is and who we are and who's higher than the other person and what kind of life you're allowed to have, and how to be a student, how to be a wife, how to be a mom, how to be any of these things. And when we start unlearning that and like digging deep and like taking off all those layers, that's when we learn who we truly are. And I think it's important too, as we're doing this deconditioning work and as we look at like all these different aspects of who we are, to like really do it from compassion.
Yes.
Because I know I've had a lot, and not that anger is bad. Anger can be really good and activating, but sometimes as we're like uncovering all of this, we get stuck in the anger. but to be able to like look at things from a loving perspective, especially ourselves from a loving perspective, I think really brings us right to the heart and brings us right into who we truly are.
I completely agree with that. And when you said, you know, having compassion, I think the biggest thing that people maybe, you know I forgot is that we have to go through all of the pain. We have to go through that suffering. So we know those feelings, like we came here to experience these things. Mm. We wanted it. And, you know, I want to be careful when I say this, you know, all the bad things, we didn't directly ask for those things. That's just part of our human experience. But we would not be able to know really what love is if we didn't know what hate is. You know, we can't know what joy and happiness is if we didn't have that anger as well. So part of our experience is to be conditioned so that we can learn to unlearn all the things that we were taught and find our true selves. It's part of the process. And for me, I know I was angry as well. And I'm just like, you know, why do we have to go through so much BS? Like, why can't we just be love? And why can't we just be happy and joy, you know, joyful all the time? But it's not meant to be that way. You know, we came into this experience for a reason, and everybody's experience is different, and it's okay. And you're absolutely right when you were saying, you know, we listen to the podcast and we do the courses and we join these, all of the things. And that's one of the things I find with my clients is that we're always trying to get the next thing. We're always trying to get the next lesson. But the biggest lesson is actually embodying everything that we already know and remembering who we are, what it is we came to do, and like putting that out into the world and just being that beacon of light for everyone to do the same. If you're always searching for the next thing, you're going to find it, right? Like there's always going to be another thing. There's always going to be another course. There's always going to be another. But how about we just like sit in our knowing?
Yeah. Well, I think like having conversations like this is a really great way to do that. I'll also say like, we love the cards and we love the courses and we love all of that stuff.
Oh, absolutely. Like, let's not get into how many decks I have right now.
Yeah.
Don't and tell Daniel.
We need that spark, right? To like bring us back or to like ignite our inner fire. But yeah, I find that all really interesting. Like, so speaking of all of that, I'd love to know right now, like, what are your different ways to connect spiritually? What are your spiritual practices?
I love this question because I know for me in the beginning, it was very hard when I looked up spirituality. It was like, you need to meditate. And so I would meditate and it was so hard. Like my mind would always race and I would always think and I'd be like, oh man, I'm not doing it right. But I do meditate, but I meditate in a way that is, for me, with dance and movement. I do breathing exercises because it allows my mind to focus on something so that my thoughts aren't coming in. And I know I'm still new into the spirituality journey, so to speak. So I know with more practice, things will get better for me. But I meditate, I dance, I sing. My husband and I, we do monthly card pulls with the new moon. We do that together. And then the full moon, I do them my own rituals. And so my practices really are the breathing, the meditation, the card pulling. And I am expanding and trying out different things to find out what resonates for me. I think that's also a part of the journey is, you know, go where you're being lit to go. But my thing is really just finding the magic in the everyday. And that's what's calling to me, you know, just finding that magic of, you know, sitting with a card and really tuning in and seeing how that plays out later on in your day or in your week. So not very many. I'm a mom of two now, so I can't do too many things, mm-hmm. but those are my practices. I would love, love, love to hear what yours are.
Yeah. I mean, similarly, I'm a mom to a 2-year-old and I have been on this journey for a long time. I've worked for myself for a long time and in the like yoga and spiritual realm. So before baby, I had like hours every day to really focus on connecting and filling my cup so that I could serve others. But now things are a lot different. I'm home with my girl full time, and I'm also running a business. And so a lot of, like, I guess my practices are very integrated into my life. But a few non-negotiables on a daily basis. One is getting outside and connecting with nature. So that usually looks like a walk. That looks like just taking my daughter to the playground or to a park and spending time outside and breathing and connecting with her. My breath practice is pretty non-negotiable for me. I do different types of, like, yogic pranayama and different types of like psychedelic breath work too, with long holds and things like that. And I really loved that as a way of connecting with myself. I love meditation. It's not the best every single day. I don't always want to spend that time in my mind, but for the most part, I've had a long enough practice now where I'm pretty settled in it, and where it is calming and does feel good to me. And I do feel, like, connected to source energy when I do that. I love to, like, dance with my daughter and sing songs with her. That feels really connective to me. And honestly, one of my biggest spiritual practices is, like, teaching and guiding and being in community with other seekers. I feel the most centered a lot of times when I'm in, like, that seat of holding space for other people. It's such an honor. But it really is, like, connective for me. And when I first became a yoga teacher a long time ago, I partially did it to hold myself accountable, meaning, like, I didn't have the audacity to, like, teach a practice that I wasn't living and teaching, right? So yeah, at this point, I mean, so much of it is just who I am and how I live my life ethically. And I think those ethics are just as important as, like, meditation, or just as important as, like, doing my asana or physical yoga practice. So yeah, it looks different ways, but there are definitely certain, like, concentrated times that I need. Yeah, there are all the extra fun things, like card pulls, and I love, like, chanting, and I love being in water, for instance. I don't know. It can look like so many different ways. Yes. And writing too. I love that. What I'm feeling called for kind of in the next year, for this year, 2023, is to get my hands in the dirt more. We live in this awesome neighborhood, and we have a beautiful community garden, and we just got a plot. So I'm going to learn to grow, like, medicinal herbs this year so that I can start to serve my family in that way, like, make our own medicines, as well as grow some food. And I'm also really feeling drawn to more intuitive work. I feel like an intuitive person anyway, but I'd like to hone that a little bit more and really lead from there, because I feel like the world is so confusing.
Absolutely.
And there's so much information out there. There is so much to discern. There is so much, like, coming at us from the outside all the time. So I think one of the very best tools that we can have is to have a, to be able to hear and listen to and follow our inner voice, which is spirit, which is source. And I think once we learn how to do that, we really can't go wrong.
I feel that so much. It's one of those things. I mean, you know, we've talked about this before, but when you peel back those layers and you learn, you know, who you are in your voice, like, you realize this knowing, you hear this knowing, you can feel this knowing. And I agree with you. I am also looking to step more into intuitive work, because when I have gone through, you know, what are my senses? It's always been, like, claircognizant. Like, I always just have this deep seated knowing.
Same.
But, you know, I second guess myself a lot, and it's because of that conditioning. You know, I'm still peeling back those layers. And it's so funny, when it comes to other people, when I hear that voice, I can speak it and I can just say it, you know? But when it comes to myself, I'm still learning how to like really tap into that. So I am looking forward to really stepping into that, my intuitive, my oracle, my wise woman archetype. I'm really feeling called to that. I too am ready to get my hands back in the dirt. As you know, I was pregnant this past year and it was rough and I was big and he was born big. So me getting on the ground and doing all the things was just not working. But there is something about connecting to the earth and putting your hands in the soil and feeling the dirt under your fingertips. And at first, if you're not like used to that yet, like it could be like jarring. We come from this place of being sterile and we're not meant to be. We are meant to be like dirty creatures. And so that's where like the juiciness is, right? So I'm ready to get back into that with the dirt and the sweat and all the things. And then I am also looking to cultivate more of this spirituality within my home. I've had a lot of space to really figure it out for myself, and my husband's been so supportive. But I want my children to feel this feeling, like to grow up in this. And I know as I incorporate myself and the things that I do and really just embody it all and just leave all doubt outside of myself, and not within, that I can create this life that I'm living, but for my family as well. So really stepping into more of a spirituality space in the family as well is what I'm looking for this year.
I love that. That's such a beautiful intention. So I'd love to know, Rashida, we talked about all these different practices and your journey and such. Let's pick one thing. What is like the one thing that helps you feel most connected to your spirituality or to your inner goddess or your highest self?
Yeah, okay. For me, when I feel most connected is when I am visualizing. When I am visualizing either how my business is going to go or how my family is, and not just visualizing, but seeing it in my mind's eye and feeling all the feelings, what it would be like to just wake up and, you know, have our business out in the back of the property, and, you know, how it's going to go today when I visualized how today was going to go, and really connecting with you and all the feelings. Like, I just feel the most connected when I see it and it happens. Some people call that manifesting. You know, I say visualization, because some of the things haven't happened yet, but I feel most connected because it's the possibilities of my life unfolding in front of me. And that is allowing me to know that I really am the creator of my own reality. I'm literally seeing it, visualizing it, and it's happening. And that to me is how I feel most connected to the divine.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
So powerful too.
Thank you. How about you?
I knew if I asked this question, I'd probably have to answer it too.
Yeah.
I have nothing prepared. I feel most connected when I open myself up and allow. When I allow to come through what is meant to come through without getting in my own way. And that can manifest in a lot of different ways, whether it's through writing or conversation or teaching. But it's definitely the state where I feel most holy. As I say this, my daughter is rubbing Maddie's baby chest rub all over her face.
She's mom, let's allow this to happen, please.
It is such a mess. I love that though, because oh, not that she's doing that necessarily, but this is my life now. It's integrated. There is holiness and messiness constantly going on. And I feel like when I let go of like trying to control everything and just let things, you know, tend to what I need to tend to, but let things be messy, let them be human. That's when we get to be these like integrated, holy, spiritual, messy human beings. That's where the joy is, you know, in denying nothing, embracing everything.
Absolutely. And knowing that it's okay. Like, this is okay. Like, this is like, this is what life is for you in this moment. And that is exactly where you're supposed to be, doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah. I think, I know we could go on forever, but I do want to speak a little bit to like spirituality and motherhood, since we're both moms. We lose so much control when we become mothers, and it becomes apparent immediately because we have our hearts beating outside of our bodies. And as much as we as like expand with love, right, when we have a child, that the fear comes up equally, like, I love this precious being so much, what if I lost it or something, or lost them or something happened to them. But I feel like that expansion, that heart opening, even like the fear, has been such a catalyst in my spirituality. I feel like I was on this journey before for a long time, but it's opened me up in this like brand new way that is so powerful that it's scary sometimes. I know for you, motherhood was such a catalyst in like your spiritual awakening, and now you've done it twice. And with your first, you had that like incentive, right, to grow and to know more. Now you have a very little one. What's opened up for you since he was born?
Yeah, I would say that the pregnancy and even now has been so different. You know, I'm in a different space. I'm not in this questioning space anymore. I'm really more into just being. And kids force us to be present, but we're so worried about all the other things we have to do. Even with my first one, it was kind of like that, like all things I need to do and grow and learn and change and figure this out. What is wrong with me? What's going on? With my second one, I feel like this peace. And you would think having two from one is a bit chaotic, and it is. I don't have as much downtime or free time that I've carved out for myself before with Macy, but really being present in the moment, being mindful, that is what's opened up for me with my second child. And then just allowing and having things just happen as they're supposed to happen. I know you and I spoke about this, especially when I was pregnant, but the surrender part, oh man, was I still struggling with that. But this pregnancy and going into and having him now, just surrendering to the things and knowing that the universe has my back and it's going to be okay. So,
yeah, that's so beautiful. The surrender piece is so huge. And that's really what I was speaking to when I was talking about like how I feel most connected to the divine, or when I do, it's when I get out of my own way. And that means surrender, you know, it's not like throwing myself to chaos, but it's just knowing that I don't have complete control and that what we're doing is like a co-creation with spirit.
Yes. Yes.
And, you know, pregnancy, birth, every moment of motherhood calls for that surrender. And I feel like that practical application has really expanded my spirituality and helped me love myself more and feel called to like serve in a bigger way too. So one last thing I wanted to speak to is like, why spirituality? Because it can really seem in some ways like this very selfish journey, like the navel gazing people speak about, of like me, turning inward and learning to love myself. But we do this to serve the world, right? Because when we are in our truth, when we're lit up, when we're in our purpose, it's meant to serve the collective, right? So I think that's something really important to keep in mind for those on a spiritual journey, is like, expand it beyond yourself. We're not here to be angelical and like convert anyone to spirituality, but we're looking to like align ourselves and like vibrate love and joy and compassion so that we can create a world that is love, joy, and compassion.
Yes, thank you so much for speaking to that, because that is very true. We get into this healing mindset, but it's not just for us to stay there, you know. Mm-hmm. It's for us to figure out why we came here, our purpose, which you and I both have trained on, and, you know, be that thing, be that person, be that love, that light. And that's what causes the ripple effects of our world. And that's what's going to change generations to come. It's not just always about you. It is about you, but yeah. It's also about everyone else in that.
Yeah.
And thank you for being like, we don't convert people, because that's not what this is. It's like, no. And there's no way to do that. Like we said, spirituality is everyone's individual journey. So absolutely. Honoring that, being there for that, being that person, you know, being that bestie to someone else that is just having that moment of like, holy shit, what am I even doing here? And we'll go into that later. Like, I would love for us to talk about our spiritual awakenings at one point, but
yeah, for sure. That'll be a whole other episode. I'm sure.
Absolutely.
But I think this is a really good place to land today, and that while spirituality is individual, our liberation is completely connected to the collective liberation. So we don't vibrate in joy and love and spirituality and hoard that, right? Like, we get to put out that frequency. And it makes me think of like when you're talking about bringing that into your family's life and home life and kids' life, you don't even really have to consciously try, Rashida, because you are already that, right? And by being that, by living that, by being authentic, you can't help but affect others in a really positive way. That's just how this works.
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you for that.
Yeah, you're welcome. And I'm sure there are conscious practices and you know, incorporating gratitude into every day and like appreciating the earth and, you know, all of those, and self-love, all those things are things we can consciously pass to our kids.
Yes.
But I think we do it by modeling, first and foremost. So you're already doing it. You're already on such a good path. Let's end how we started today in celebration of this first episode of our friendship with each other and with this community that we're manifesting, that we visualize, that we see. To anyone listening, we love you. We're so happy you're here. We want you to be our besties. And we are so excited to learn and grow and like continue these really deep and beautiful conversations together.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for being here. We look forward to connecting and chatting with you. Born and I are open and ready to bring on more besties into our community, and we cannot wait to see where this goes.
Yes. Thanks so much, Rashida. We'll talk soon.
Bye, bestie.
Thank you so much for joining us for this incredible episode. If you loved it, don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and tell all your besties about us.
You can also connect with us on Instagram at Your Spiritual Besties Podcast. And be sure to say hello and share your thoughts about the episode. Love you, bestie. Talk soon.